Let us walk. And on Monday evening, Dickon called round to see Debbie.
Come on in then, Dickon.
I can go away again.
After dragging me down the stairs, nah. You sit down now, you're here.
I wondered if you'd like to come out for a drink.
I had a drink with you lunchtime.
You seemed a bit low then.
Oh, that's nothing to what I am now. If you want to feel really fed up and demoralised, let me recommend a visit to the Department of Social Security. It's a must for all potential depressives.
I wanted to hear how you got on.
You're a sucker for punishment, aren't you?
Well, get your coat and we'll go to the wagons.
Well, I can't. The others have gone to a party at Tom's place. I didn't fancy it, so I got lumbered with moonshine.
Oh, you're babysitting?
Yeah. You can hear what a good job I'm making of it. Shut up, will you?
Shall I have a go? She was quite good with me on New Year's Eve.
Oh, help yourself, Sir Galahad. Anything to stop that noise.
She seems to have settled now.
What did you do? Smother her?
No, I recited Hiawatha.
Oh, Dickon, you fool.
Well, I couldn't remember any nursery rhymes.
Oh.
Anyway, it seems to have done the trick.
Oh, thank God. Oh, you know, it really sets my teeth on edge, that crying.
You'll feel different when it's your own.
That's what Carol says. That's what they all say. Want a cup of tea?
You stay there. I'll make it.
Thanks. I've flaked out.
Have you eaten?
No. There's something sinister in brown rice in that pan, but I couldn't place it.
Got any eggs?
Think so.
Well, why don't I scramble you some?
You don't have to, Dickon.
I'll do them a la Rob. You make simply scrumptious scrambled egg. Sounds like a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Right. So, tell me about the Social Security visit.
Oh, endless questions from this condescending little slug. Veiled recriminations. And Andy wanted to know who the father was so they could force him to pay maintenance.
Did you tell them?
Of course I flaming well didn't. Not that the slug didn't try to put pressure on, but like I told him, they can't force me to give his name. I'm under no obligation to.
But if Cliff has a legal responsibility...
I'm not interested in the legalities of it. It's how I feel matters. And I don't want Cliff to have anything to do with it. He's just a creep.
He's getting on bloody likely.
I don't want to talk about it, Dickon.
There's you with only your maternity allowance after next week and possibly out on the streets,
too. I don't want to talk about that either.
Have you found anywhere yet?
I said I don't want to talk about it.
You haven't.
Something will turn up.
You're beginning to sound just like Vincent Carroll.
So what's wrong with that?
Hey, Peter. You're hogging all the blankets.
Mm. Oh. Oh, sorry, Di. Mm. Hey, what was that?
What?
Why, I thought I heard Father's door.
Can't be going to the loo again. I can't hear anything. It's probably the gate banging.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Marvellous, isn't it?
What is?
Well, it's bad enough having to listen out for four children without your father, too.
Three children.
Oh, not again, love. Whenever we talk about it, we just go round and round in circles.
Well, there must be a solution, I suppose.
Well, don't let's lie awake worrying about it now. I've got a heavy day tomorrow.
Me too.
By the way, I've asked someone to dinner.
Hmm? When?
Well, we haven't fixed a night yet. Next week, I thought.
Darling, we can't entertain with Father here.
Peter, our whole social life doesn't have to grind to a halt because of Arthur. I agree it's difficult for us to go out, but I don't see why we can't invite people here. It'd be a change for you.
Well, who is it, anyway?
Maurice Gill and his girlfriend.
Maurice Gill?
Yes.
What do you plan to do? Poison the soup?
That's probably what he's thinking, too.
Why, then?
Well, I thought it was all getting a bit childish.
What, your feud with Maurice?
It isn't a feud. At least it didn't start as one. I admit we have different attitudes to a whole lot of things, but that can be quite healthy.
If it doesn't become personal.
Exactly. But it's got so Morris and I bristle at the sight of each other. And it's rubbing off on the junior staff. There'll be factions soon.
Where does Mike stand in all this?
Oh, he doesn't. He sits, sphinx-like, on the fence. Blows the whistle now and then when we actually draw blood. I sometimes feel...
What?
Oh, I don't want to sound disloyal, but I get the impression that Mike's a bit disenchanted with the job.
Well, it can't be much fun having Milton Monk breathing down his neck all the time.
And playing him off against Morris.
Oh, so someone likes Morris Gill.
Well, I don't think Milton Monk likes people. He just likes manipulating them. But Morris was his appointment in the first place, remember?
Yes, of course.
And he is the heir apparent. Which is partly what makes him so damn cocky. Anyway, I thought an olive branch was in order. A relaxed evening away from the Herald might ease things between us. I mean, I've got to think of the paper.
Well, tell me which evening and we'll work out a menu.
I also want you to meet him. See what you make of him. After all, if Morris and I are going to stop being mortal enemies, one of us at least is going to need an unbiased opinion of the other.
I'll talk to you next week. Thanks again. Oh gosh, I'm terrible. Oh, it's only you, Dickon. Oh,
I may be only your brother, but I still bruise. What are you doing in there?
Seeing Liz Warner.
I realise that, since it's her office.
She wants me to review this book for the women's page, then use my review as the basis for a feature she's doing.
Women and trades unions. Sounds just your scene.
Well, you don't have to be affiliated to the TUC to review a book on the subject.
Nice of her to use you, anyway.
And what's more, she's invited Morris and me to dinner next week.
Liz has?
I know. It's thrown Morris completely.
They'll probably end up hurling the knives.
Is it really that bad?
Well, let us say that editorial meetings are seldom dull these days.
I rather like her.
I rather like her.
And Morris can be very difficult at times.
Absolutely no comment.
We had a bit of a showdown yesterday.
I thought you and he thrived on that sort of thing.
I used to think so, too.
Everything's all right, isn't it, Cress?
Oh, yes. We'll bounce back. Well, be seeing you then. I'm coming round to inspect the new flat of yours sometime soon.
Well, don't wait for a formal invitation. Though you might get one eventually. Bye for now.
Bye.
Come in.
Can you spare a minute, Liz?
Yes, just about.
It's not to do with work.
I can still manage a minute.
It's to do with Debbie.
Yes, I never got a chance to speak to her properly in the pub yesterday. How is she?
I'm a bit concerned about her.
Oh?
I don't know why the hell I should be. Her situation's no concern of mine, and she never stops telling me. If I give her advice, she won't listen. The fact remains, I can't help worrying. Call it my overdeveloped social conscience. Call it middle-class guilt. Call it plain pig-headedness.
Why not call it friendship?
Anyhow, I think she needs help.
In what way?
She won't organise anything. I mean, the baby's due in less than 2 months, and she's just letting things drift. Take the question of accommodation. You know the council's turfing them out.
No, I didn't. I thought it was an approved squad.
Only on a temporary basis. They were served with a notice to quit on Christmas Eve.
The housing department's immaculate sense of timing.
So now they've got under 3 weeks to find somewhere.
But surely the council will have to rehouse them. I mean, Debbie, anyway. And the girl with the baby.
It would mean another bed and breakfast place. She says she couldn't stand that. And besides, they don't want to be split up, she and the others.
So what are they going to do about it?
Well, nothing. That's what I'm saying. Something will turn up. That's their philosophy. Not that it's a bad one altogether. In some respects, I'm quite drawn to their way of life myself.
I can't see you as a squatter.
Oh, I can sometimes, after I've been over there for an evening. That kind of manana attitude can be oddly infectious.
Debbie appears to have caught it.
Yes, but I'm a man on my own, and I'm not expecting a baby.
No, Dickon.
Well, what she needs is someone to help her get a grip of herself. Someone adult.
You mean old?
No, mature, sensible, experienced, as well as sympathetic. Someone like you.
Thank you.
Well, at least you'd know what a layette is, wouldn't you?
Yes, I do know that.
Well, she won't even talk about clothes and prams and things. I was thinking if someone like you could encourage her to start buying whatever it is she needs to buy, and give her some advice about whatever it is you need to know. You were the only person I could think of, Liz.
Oh, hello, George. Oh, good morning, Mr. Tyson.
Oh, Peter, please.
I prefer Mr. Tyson, if you don't mind, when I'm dealing with you as a client.
Well, actually, I'm not here as a client. I wanted a quick word with you as a person.
Oh?
Yes, I wondered if we could have a drink together sometime. Something I want to sound you out about.
Yes, of course. I'm taking my lunch break early today. Would that be any use to you?
Ah, oh, well, it depends how early. I have to fetch the girls from playgroup at 12:30.
Let me have a quick word with the manager. It's quiet. I think I could get off right away. Cheerio, then. All the best.
Mm. Cheers.
Well, now, Peter, how can I help you?
Well, I'll be quite frank with you, George. It's to do with Father.
Yes, how is Arthur? I thought he seemed a bit low at the weekend. I suppose it'll be a long time before he's his old self again.
Yes. Yes, it could be a very long time, which does create something of a problem for Liz and me. As you know, we've had to give Father Jeremy's room.
And Jeremy's living with his mother, if I understand rightly.
Oh, staying temporarily.
What an adaptable little fellow he is.
Well, yes, he is.
And but all credit to you and Mrs. Pryor, I say. Some divorced couples are so possessive over their children. These tug-of-love cases you read about. It's wonderful to see a child who's equally happy with either parent.
Oh, yes, he's certainly happy enough with Lynn.
Oh, but you can tell that. I met them out on Sunday, was it? You could see he was happy as a sandboy.
Yes, but the fact remains his home is with us at Minden Road. Mm. And, well, naturally, while feeling responsible for Father, we do want Jeremy back with us as soon as possible.
I do see it's a tricky situation for you.
Father's obviously on the mend now, but I doubt he'll be able to cope on his own at Cane House for some while yet.
My word, no. Well, he said as much to me on Saturday.
Ah, well, on the other hand, if he had someone else there, well, you can probably see what I'm driving at, George.
Yes, I think so.
I gather you're not too happy over the shop now.
It's mainly a question of the downstairs lavatory. That and the sitar music.
Oh?
I believe that's what they call the instrument. Not that I've anything against Indian music in small doses. But right. Moderation in music and Manji Patel are strangers to each other.
So it could be the solution for you too. Mm-hmm. And moving back into Cane House with Father.
I'm sorry, Peter.
I know he can be a bit trying.
It's not that. It's a question of moving on. If I were to share with Arthur again, it'd be going back to square one, back to the way it was before I married Kath, as if she had never happened.
Well, in a way, I suppose.
Yes, it would. And I owe it to her memory not to go back to the way I was before, but to go on being the kind of person she made me.
You have other plans, then?
Not yet. But I have a few ideas in mind. I hope you understand.
Yes. It was a long shot. Sorry, George.
Hello, Debbie.
Hello, Liz. What do you want?
Oh, I wanted to see you.
Oh, hang on. Surprise, surprise.
Mm. I thought I'd look in on the off chance. I wondered if these would be any use to you.
What are they?
Well, they're baby clothes, mostly. Things the twins have grown out of. I've got some more stuff in the car. There's a baby bath and a rather elderly carry cot.
Dickon's been talking to you.
Well, I was going to offer them to you anyway.
Thanks for the thought, but no.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Debbie. You can't afford to be proud.
Proud?
Well, everyone passes things on these days.
I'm not being proud. I lost every vestige of pride I have had in the last few months.
Well, then take them. I shan't be needing baby clothes anymore.
Who says I will?
What?
What makes everyone so sure I'm going to keep the baby?
But, Debbie, I thought you...
You can change your mind, can't you?